Hey, you're listening to episode 7 of Min Story, a podcast about Minnesota's rural and urban communities. My name is Melissa Ray, and I'm your host and producer of Min Story. Old hats, you know the spiel by now, but new folks, welcome, and here's a scoop. Each season follows a different rural or urban community, and this season, which is season 1, features Houston County. Houston County is the furthest southeastern county in Minnesota and is my hometown county. Starting a business in general is a big commitment and can be intimidating, to say the least. Where you start that business is one of many factors that determines whether or not it'll be a success. So what do rural areas, specifically Houston County in this case, have to offer entrepreneurial business owners? Today's episode digs into this topic with Sarah Mann of Sweet 16 Farm. The tagline for the farm really does say it all. Sustainability and community, a destination farm in the heart of Minnesota's Bluff Country. I'll let Sarah introduce you to the farm. Here she is.
My name is Sarah Wexler Mann. I own and operate Sweet 16 Farm in Houston, Minnesota. So we are in the Root River Valley of southeastern Minnesota. It's called Bluff Country or the Driftless Region by a lot of folks because of how the glaciers missed this area, which left us with this amazing topography of these, you know, rolling bluff lands and valleys and trout streams and tributaries. And it's just really a magical place, which is why it kind of spoke to me even as a child. This is where I kind of knew I wanted to end up.
What we're looking at now is just under 2 acres of a flower farming operation, primarily for cut flower production for bouquets, for wholesale to grocery stores and florists primarily. So this is my first year of fully expanding flower production. Last year I was focused more on vegetable production with flowers as a side, and the flowers were the most fun I've ever had with farming. And so I tilled in all my vegetable gardens and revisioned the acreage that I had and spent the entire winter really mapping out, you know, the beds and succession planting and how many bouquets I would need to sell and how many, you know, different plants that translated into, and how to work in a covered space with a high tunnel, which is also new this year on the farm. And yeah, the goal really being just to have stunning bouquets every week of differing shapes and colors and smells, and just to wow people. So basically, yeah, we're standing 360 degrees surrounded by about 70-foot rows. Probably we're like 18 rows. Is that overestimating? Maybe that's overestimating. But anyway, it's a lot of flowers. Yeah. First of all, it started out with just the color. So, you know, growing vegetables for so many years, you know, there's every vegetable has a flower, right? But they're normally green, you know? What you're harvesting is just green on green on green. And then my small bed of flowers last year was amazing. And they sold every week at our farm stand, and I don't know, something just changed. And then too, with flowers for harvesting, it's a really early morning experience. So you really want to, most of the flower varieties, although there's some exceptions, want to be harvested really before the sun hits them in the morning. So while they're still cool. So, you know, getting up at 5 in the morning and coffee and heading out to harvest flowers and then build bouquets and then sit back and look at what I've done by 7:30 in the morning is a really awesome feeling. So, accomplishment before 8. So this is my first year doing a flower CSA. For those of you that don't know, a flower or a CSA in general is for community supported agriculture. So basically, it's a partnership between the community and the farmer, where we share the rewards as well as the risk of farming, and it allows local farmers to, you know, invest in the year ahead and have a chunk of cash kind of up front to really envision the year and map things out. So what I'm offering this year for the first time is very similar to what you see at vegetable CSAs, which is either a every other week or weekly bouquet subscription, where I build you a beautiful bouquet every week, and you can either pick it up here on the farm, or for those that live close, I can do delivery. So the first year with that, and I'm really excited.
I think you probably get this from what Sarah was saying, but this farm and the flower garden are beautiful. Also, those bouquets, let's just say when I move back to southeastern Minnesota, I will be a Flower CSA member for sure. Also, you can find pictures on Sweet 16 social media if you're interested in looking at all of this beauty. Okay, but let's get back to the topic from the start of the show. How does one start a farm like Sweet 16 Farm? Here's Sarah explaining the farm's journey from idea to reality.
Moved here in 2010 and spent the first couple years just figuring it out. I mean, I'd always had a garden in college, and I had shopped at natural food stores as a kid. You know, my dad, I was that little kid that my dad pushes around in the shopping cart, and I'd worked at natural food stores in college, and, you know, it was always a part of my life. But it wasn't until I was here and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're doing this. Where do we start? There's an organization called the Land Stewardship Project, and they offer a farm beginnings program for new farmers. They are an amazing organization. They do a lot of programs and just trying to help farmers get started. So that's where we went. And the program that we took asked us to kind of isolate our vision into one thing, because I think that when you are in this location with so many different like ecosystems and soil types, and you know, do we farm on the bluff? Do we farm on the valley? Do we do something in the woods? Do we, you know, how do we utilize all the different pieces? It can get overwhelming. So their first lesson to us was just reel it in, find one thing, and understand the workings of it completely, because then a lot of those tools that you use to perfect this venture will in turn help you with others. So it's just those tools. So the tools that we were given really gave us some direction as far as how to manage these hurdles and all that stuff. So anyway, we came up with a business plan, we came up with a timeline, and we did it. We lucked into location. So that was a big thing, being located right on State Highway 16. We didn't have to necessarily seek out a community, because people have been watching us, you know, who are those new farmers every time they drive by, and then definitely putting up the hop yard, you know, 24-foot posts up in the air. You can hear people hit the rumble strips as they kind of drive slowly by and trying to figure out what we're doing out here. So in that sense, we found a piece of property that lent itself well to introducing ourselves to the community. We were here for about 5 years before we opened it up to the community. So our first year, in that announcement that we made to folks, brought a lot of people, because it's like, look, this, their gates are now open, their signs are up, you know, who are they and what's going on? So that was a really nice, just right off the bat, to have so many people here and shaking hands and hearing your story and hearing their story. And the business plan that we had, as far as not just supplying folks with produce, but sharing that bigger dream of community angle, as far as, you know, the possibility of having workshops here or summer camps or, you know, bouquet making and hop picking, and just that, like, we don't close our gate. We're not pushed back and hidden off the road doing our own thing. Like, this is something that we're trying to build for the community.
There's another super fascinating aspect of the farm: hop plants. Yes, all you craft beer enthusiasts, take note. Here's Sarah talking about the hops.
So another big part of the farm here is our third of an acre hop yard. So what that looks like is there are about 150-foot rows, each with about, 40, 45 hop plants in them. Each of the rows has 5 20-foot posts, and throughout the season, the hops are going to grow that 20 feet and then produce sidearms that then the hops grow on. So at the end of the season, we throw a big party here, and we cut down all those vines and have live music and a food truck and camping, and we harvest hops. We're partnering this year with Island City Brewing Company out of Winona, and the hops that we harvest are going to go into a wet hopped brew, and we're really excited. This is our second annual event. We had a ton of fun last year.
Hops are a fascinating plant. They grow from the ground to 20 feet in the air all in one season. They're pretty needy early on in the spring as far as your time and energy and kind of making sure that they get the nutrients and the nitrogen and the water and the, you know, and then the training up the trellising system. But then it's just a lot of monitoring them. So, and that was part of the draw is that this isn't a crop that needs our 100% of our attention all season round, and it's going to allow us to do other things with the farm, you know, during the growing season.
Sarah grew up in a metropolitan area, but has firmly chosen to make her adult life and business in this rural area. Let's talk about that more for a minute. Here's Sarah.
We don't have a booming population of folks, and we are, like, here in Houston, we're located 30 minutes from La Crosse, 40 minutes from Rochester, you know, so we have access to metropolitan, you know, arts and culture and food and events and communities that have, you know, bigger access to funds, and, you know, so it seems bigger and better out there, where what I'm saying is that no, it doesn't need to be bigger and better. It can just be right here and small in our community, and people will come because it seems like more people are seeking experiences more than tangible material things. Mm-hmm. So what do we have out here that is an experience for people? And I grew up in the cities, and even as a kid, and again, this is before, I hate to harp on about devices, but I mean, obviously, as you look around the kitchen, there's my laptop, there's my smartphone, I do marketing, I do branding, I'm very aware that these are tools that have become essential and have brought really good things as far as being able to be located out in the middle of nowhere and run a business and target your audience that lives 40 minutes away or lives 30 minutes away. So I see the benefit of these things, but I also see the disconnect that they create between us and the world around us. Mm-hmm. So from being raised in the cities and coming out here to the country, I have felt this calm set in, I guess is how, I mean, I'm sure there's a better term to describe it, but I'm building something bigger than me. I'm building something for the future. I'm trying to leave, you know, whatever, you know, legacy, I guess, that you can, here's the term for what we're building here that we can leave to our kids, that we can leave to future generations. And in that sense, I'm creating a space that's not just about me. Mm-hmm. That's about, you know, community, that's about the future, that's about just leaving a small little mark in this crazy world. And I think that that's hard to do in the cities. And I think that might be, if we can get that out to people, that when people come onto our property, they feel that. They see that this is something special. And it's something that we crave, but we don't really know we crave it until we experience it. That's the pull that I'm trying to get folks to do, is like, come out here, just come out to the farm, pick some flowers, hike in the woods, play disc golf, play with the dogs, bring your kids. You know, it's just like, it's just that thing that I think has started to be missed.
When I heard Sarah talk about this calm that settles in, I immediately knew exactly what she meant. Every time I drive from the Twin Cities to my hometown of Caledonia, there is a distinct point in the drive where I get off of Highway I-90 and immediately start my descent into the valley with bluffs all around me. Every time, without fail, in the 12 or so years since I've been gone, I can feel my whole body breathe a sigh of relief. Now, this isn't to say life on a farm or in rural areas is easy or calm all the time. Quite the opposite. Farmers work incredibly hard. Did you hear Sarah talking about her 5 a.m. start to her days? But there is something about being surrounded by nature, and such beautiful nature in this case, that releases some of that tension, I think. Anyway, enough of me waxing on. This is not about me. I asked Sarah to talk about community and how she engages with community through Sweet 16 Farm. Here she is.
Our tagline for the farm is sustainability and community. Everything we do, or everything we try to do, everything as sustainably as possible, and keep our farm open for the community. So if you've never visited a flower farm before, it's a really beautiful thing to see. I don't even know. It's like rows and rows of colors and bees and butterflies, and I don't know. It's, you know, visiting and just kind of experiencing that is something that I hope the community does. And come check out what we're doing here.
What are some other ways through, obviously through your farm, we find a lot of community. What are other places or ways that you find community here?
Well, interestingly, having a child has brought a lot of community, and obviously whatever, and you know, that incredible shift that happens in you as a person when all of a sudden you are responsible for the upbringing of a smart, caring little person. So I think seeking out, like I said, a lot of it is us trying to bring people here, but that, you know, having a son and trying to, you know, make sure that he doesn't spend all of his life, you know, in the garden with me too, is seeking out, you know, other moms and other communities and experiences for him. Because I worry a little bit about that statistic that so many kids who grow up in the country want to live, you know, when they grow up, they want to move to the city. And I don't want that to be my son. So kind of making sure that I'm giving him well-rounded experiences and a good head on his shoulders and experiences that it's not, man, being a farmer means work really hard all day long. It's that being a farmer means a lot of fun and a lot of kids and a lot of energy and a lot of community. So trying to build that for him is, in a way, what I'm hoping keeps him connected to what we're doing here.
Hooray for connection and community and farming. I have so many warm fuzzies after this episode. Thank you, Sarah, for being such a joy to speak with and such an advocate for Houston County and all the communities that exist. All right, that's all for today. You can find Min's Story at minstory.org. That's MINNESTORY.ORG. You can also find us in all the social places, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our music is by a Minnesota musician named Matt Blair. Check him out at mattblairmusic.net. All right, thanks for listening.